at the 9:45. Purdy under center, fakes to Garendo, back to throw, wants to go deep, and fires down to the 35 to Kittle. Forced out of bounds at the 30.
Brad Sham with the call. George Kittle, National Tires Day. George Kittle goes off 6 for 128 and a touchdown. Had a 43-yarder. And one of his plays caused Trayvon Diggs to go off after the game. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, back from California without his wallet. Fresh off the plane. What time did you land, Bob?
3:55, and then we deplaned. It was like 4:10, and so that's about the time I noticed I didn't have my wallet.
Well, you're looking good. You're sounding good.
Thank you.
You just won't be able to be identified for who knows how long. After the game, Trayvon Diggs identified Mike Leslie. So on one of Kittle's catches, Diggs is like not the primary defender. This isn't Donovan Wilson. He's like trailing on the play.
So Diggs is, he's carrying a route. I don't think he realized the ball was completed right away. So he was still kind of following his guy and then realized it was completed. And I think he kind of pauses. He's still moving downfield, but you can tell he's like kind of assessing things. Like it's processing the angle he needs to take. And then he goes and he tries to make the tackle. And then Kittle gets down to like the one. And so that was that big play that Kittle hit on the crosser where then he turned up the field and almost scored.
Mike Leslie from Channel 8. Now, does he have a thing with Diggs? Who has been Diggs been going back and forth with someone throughout the year when they ask about other receivers that he's potentially going to cover?
So, yeah, Diggs has been going back and forth with everybody this year.
We have that.
The main one is Podell Beckham, Garrett Podell from CBS Sports. He has gone at him a couple times. Garrett is really young. Garrett's like I think out of college 2 years, first gig, and works hard, and just asks him a question of asked him 1 week, hey, how does Chris Olave challenge? We played the audio, you remember? And he was like, he's a good receiver. And then a couple weeks later he asked a similar question about Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
And Diggs kind of blew it off. And then when everything kind of dispersed afterwards and the media availability was done, he kind of let Garrett have it a little bit. And he was like, Why are you asking how receivers challenge me? Why aren't you asking how I challenge receivers? It's like, I mean, that's a question for the New York media to ask Neighbors. We're getting your perspective on that right there. And so he's gone back and forth a little bit. Mike is, I think, thought of by some of the players as a bit of an instigator at times. And so I'm sure Diggs has had issues with him before.
So Diggs goes into the locker room. I thought that Mike's tweet was a reach. We can all call out Trayvon for not tackling and other things.
Right.
I thought it was a little bit of a reach. I'm like, I'm not focusing on Diggs on that play. You know, if you want to use it for your effort cut-ups in the film room and say, is everyone running 110% to the football? I guess you could. I thought it was a little bit of a reach to pick on Trayvon. Trayvon went into the locker room, saw the tweet, and stormed back out in front of all the media.
Now that whole play that you took from that, you don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon.
I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
Now that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing then?
We can talk about D's. Drop the D's nuts on him. Drop the D's on him, which is all-time funny.
It is all-time funny. I get like these notifications on my computer, like articles that are written, and the Sporting News just said D's nuts. All it said was that was it. That was the headline.
What if we drop the D? We should figure out a way to drop the D's nuts on Jerry tomorrow.
Ooh, yeah. How would we do that? I mean,
It'd be so much better if they won and Diggs did this, but it's going to be tough.
Asked Jerry when the last time he dropped D's nuts on anybody.
Oh,
these were in the San Francisco press box yesterday. Deets nuts, which are actually, you would think, oh, so there's a nuts? No. Deets nuts, which are meat bites, honey maple smoked sausage. So the sausage is named Deets nuts, but you could work it in like that. Say, Jerry, we heard that the Deets nuts were very popular in the San Francisco. Have you considered adding those to the press box?
So spread? I expected this to kind of be like 70-30, maybe like 80-20 80% blame towards Diggs, 20% towards Mike Leslie. I thought it was going to be a media watchdog moment. It is not. I stayed up an extra 45 minutes watching the reaction pour in.
Wow.
Trayvon Diggs is getting absolutely destroyed and taken apart. From being soft, rabbit ears.
How long were they in the locker room for?
About a minute or two.
In a minute, he was already able to go on and find that.
I'm sure he opened his Twitter, looked at his mentions, and it was what he saw several tags in his mentions, I'm guessing. Where it's like he sees somebody.
I want to know what's customary time wise in a locker room with a player going in, checking their phone. Like he came back out in full pads. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't take off the jersey.
No.
He checked the phone. People were getting on him for that a lot.
He was probably still wrapped. He probably still taped up. Yeah. Probably was.
Like, you're not getting in there listening to the team speech first. Did McCarthy just go in there and say something for literally a minute, maybe 2 minutes? Because Diggs storms right back out. You were there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's...
Was Mike even in there yet?
Mike was in there. Mike was first or second person. He was in there really early. But they were in there. I don't know how much it was. Yeah, was there a speech? Is it... Mike was about to deliver speech, because obviously the locker room's closed for like 6 or 7 minutes. So it may have been a case where some guys were just getting in position, so Mike hadn't started talking yet, and Diggs was looking at his phone and then jumped up and went out there.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what alerted Cowboys PR to where they knew he was out there, because Diggs can kind of just, in a room of 53 people, It's probably easy for him to just walk out and them not notice that he went back out there. And it took a few minutes, and it wasn't until then PR came out and was like, get back in here, and I don't know if it was they realized where to go.
It's soft, but I mean, you know, also the instigator part of this whole thing. I mean, I didn't think that was a fair assessment of what happened on the play. I mean, it was a bad look from Trayvon. There were 14 other things in that play that you could point to that were the cause of why the ball got down to the 2 yard.
When Trayvon said that's what you took from that play, right. I agree with that.
I agree with that.
And I think we're like the only ones. I think people are so sick of the Cowboys and they're so pissed off at everything that when a player does anything that comes across as whiny, they're going to get blamed for it. And, you know, FAF, we're fair as you know what on this show. We got to be objective, like in the courtroom.
I think is it a little nitpicky? Maybe. But also, I will say this. It's really innocuous when you think about it, saying, what's he doing on this play? That's literally the extent of it. It wasn't like, Trayvon Diggs looks like he's loafing here. There was no accusation. It was literally a question of, what is he doing on this play? Obviously, it was meant a little combatively, but read in a different context, that could literally mean, what was his responsibility in this play? Was he supposed to be here? Was he supposed to do this? Yeah. It's not necessarily accusatory. And so
Trayvon still shouldn't go out there.
No.
All right, with that said, it's what I said last week. When you're getting your ass kicked, and they did, they may try to spin it. You know, we went to San Francisco. It was a Super Bowl contender. We lost by, you know, 6 points. That's it. We were within a touchdown. When you're getting your ass kicked, be quiet. This is just what I would tell my son. Shut your mouth. Shut up. Until you bounce back, until you prove yourself, until you're tough enough, until you're good enough, you have to take it. Just be quiet. You have no right to talk. That's what I would tell my kid. But there's Diggs snapping afterwards. He's getting taken apart everywhere.
Yeah.
I woke up 4:00. My brother is lighting up my phone because of this. Your players, and he's a Commanders fan in Maryland, your players and your owner act like you're the Pats of Belichick and Brady. That squad got to be dismissive with the media and answer only the questions they wanted because they delivered and brought home titles. Y'all haven't won squat in 20 years, and you turn around and act like the media needs to walk on eggshells with you, and you'll only answer the questions y'all want to answer. Get an effing grip. Dak actually doesn't act that way. I do like him, but your general culture is S. Jerry exit on too. When you see your owner talking to the media like this, F it. Why wouldn't I if I don't like the questions either? And that was my brother going off, setting the example from the owner. Let me go ahead and follow it. I don't like what's being asked. I don't like what you say, so I'll snap at you as well.
Sure, that's a fair point to make. I would also say, though, I think if Jerry never has that interaction with us, that still plays out exactly the same with Trayvon Diggs, because that's kind of Diggs.
Yeah.
Diggs is, we've talked about it before. Diggs does have rabbit ears. He hears everything.
He's my new target now. He's my new person to pick on this defense. It was
just like other teams.
It's been Tank. It's been Jalen Smith. It's been Micah at times. I'm trying to think who else. I've targeted. It's Diggs. He's way too sensitive. He's definitely not that hardcore defending the run. He doesn't want to tackle. He's not shut down. He's not locked down. He gives up big plays in yardage and big plays in terms of moments in the game on third down. Trayvon Diggs is my new target. Stop being so sensitive. Stop being so soft about it with the rabbit ears. Act like a pro. And act like a big dog corner who's getting paid all that money to try to be a lockdown guy. But you got so much attitude and so much edge that gets redirected in the wrong places. When you hype with this media guy for asking you about the other receiver to cover these questions, he's got the wrong type of attitude oozing out of his pores. Just oozing out of his pores. And you can see it sometimes with Stephon too. Like,
yeah.
Just like, don't come at me sideways. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you're not good enough to be acting like Deion Sanders.
He was a guy who...
Trade watch. I know Deron Bland didn't play. If you do have to make a decision, forget about Dion Micah. Let's start sniffing around that. Let's start sniffing around what Diggs could bring back.
And I mean, that's...
Sorry.
They're going to have to deal one of the corners.
And I disagree with Mike Leslie. I disagree with Mike Leslie's tweet, but be a pro, man. Stop getting so worked up and flipping out over every little small thing. Sorry.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that he's... he's considered unique, I think, by a lot of people who evaluated him and by the Cowboys, in that he does hear things, he definitely internalizes it, but he does seem to self-motivate with it. And so that's why they haven't always been bugged by it. He really impressed on NFL teams when he was coming out of Alabama that whenever anybody would make a reference, even in passing, to just saying, you're Stephon Diggs' brother, right? Or anything like that, he would get hype with NFL teams and tell them, no, I am Trayvon Diggs. I'm nobody's brother. That's not my name. My name's Trayvon Diggs. I'm my own man, and I'm a football. And he would get very, and he loves his brother. He and his brother are close.
Yeah.
Generally, you want to be associated.
But the idea is just, you don't know. You recognize.
And I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either.
But I mean, that kind of chip on his shoulder thing with everything.
Yes.
There's a line, right? Where there's a line where we appreciate it in Jordan and we appreciate it in Brady and those guys who go, I'll take any little slight and turn it into this big thing. Diggs does that too, but it's not done to the level of the greatest, and it's not done. It feels like it's more petty and personal than just, ooh, this is self-motivation.
Yeah.
It's lash out. Yeah.
It's whinier. Let's take some Cowboy calls at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Plus, I don't know if you're aware, there's a little baseball series going on. I can watch it. Is Shohei, are we going to be watching him tonight? I know I'm not going to be watching the Dallas Mavericks because I can't find them on TV.
Me neither.
Cowboy calls, World Series and Mavs. Next on 105.3 The Fan.
Cortez delivers.
Hate that guy now. I don't really hate him. I'm jealous. Joe Davis, the chosen one, the Joe Buck replacement with the Freddie meet Gibby call. Game one. We'll get to the World Series in a little bit. Living up to the hype. 2-0 Dodgers. Will Shohei play tonight? That's all coming up here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. But it is a Cowboys Monday after the 30-24 loss in San Francisco. We want to open up to the Tolos at 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. I think our computer went down for a second, so Chris Strong in for Pepe. You go ahead and introduce the callers, Chris, as we fly through them right here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's go to line number one, Brett from Little Elm. You're live.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What up?
So, I just want to say real quick, my cousin Patrick used to do your landscaping years ago, 6-7 years ago.
Pixley?
Pixley.
Yes, sir. He said y'all are awesome on and off the air. Love y'all for that. But so I would say
he needs to fire the other owner of the business, Chris. He's a diehard Packer troll. Nonstop Packer love. So Pat needs to disassociate with Chris.
That's also my cousin, and I don't talk to him. No, I haven't talked to him in 5, 6, 7 years either. But
smart.
I would say this year it's not all Dak's fault. I don't think we can win with him, but this year it's not all his fault. I just don't think giving him that contract at all is going to work out. And Deshaun Watson exists. There's always going to be contracts worse. But I really believe the best thing for this team is blow it up. But I feel like now we're trapped for the 4 years. But I really think this team as constructed and the culture is so bad, you're not winning. And the best thing would have been to just start over.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been putting off this Cowboy Time Machine segment, but we're going to have to do it. Maybe Tuesday or Wednesday of this week with the things you would have gone back and done. Derrick Henry scoring again yesterday before Jameis and the big-time Browns drive, defensive coordinator hires, draft picks, all these different decisions, maybe a Cowboys Time Machine. Next, Tolo Christopher, who else do we have?
Yeah, that opens up a line at 877-881-1053. Let's go to line two, Jeff in Keller. You're on the Sean and RJ.
Well, 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 boys.
Oh, here he is.
Dang it.
After you guys insulted me last week, I was just brought up that you don't pick on those that can't, you know, fight back. That's why I was a little nicer to you guys. But even after you bothered my soul, I was absolutely raging the way you boys got treated on that phone call. So I'm glad you guys were awesome on that. But, you know, you guys are rarely ever wrong. But I think you were on this time. Listen, Jerry wasn't wrong when he said all in. You guys took it as you're all in on the season.
Yeah.
No, he's all in on draft position.
He's tanking, man.
And this is Jeff and Keller, who's Lions yesterday.
Big, oh, God.
Dropped a 50-burger.
Dude.
Good gosh.
They're a problem.
What was Goff's numbers?
I think he had like 86 yards passing, and they put up 52 points.
They've got the...
Oh, wait, no. Keep Jeff up. Keep Jeff up. Don't lose him. All right.
No, Jeff, he's gone.
That was Chris in for Pepe. Can't disrespect you 2 weeks in a row, Jeff. Call back. We'll put you back on.
They had the note. I had tweeted it yesterday. There was a point on the broadcast where they threw it out that Detroit over the last five games had 24 touchdowns and 19 incompletions.
What?
Yeah.
They had five more touchdowns than incompletions over the last five games.
He had 28 yards. Here it is in my notes. He had 28 yards passing, and they had scored 35 points.
Yeah, and two TDs. But his two TDs were like 1 yard passes.
Yeah.
They were very, very short.
With no Williams.
Right.
No Viagra.
Nope. No Viagra. That's the rumor.
Dude.
That's the rumor.
The Ben Johnson stock out of control. All right, Chris, let's keep it going with the Tolos here on the D&M Leasing Hotline for Star Up, Star Down, wherever they want to take it.
All right, let's go to Bruce in Dallas. You're on Sean and RJ.
What's going on, guys? Big Bruce Trillis. Love you guys, man.
Thank you.
It killed me when Jerry did that to y'all. And I took it personal.
Thank you, man.
Y'all are like family to us out here.
Appreciate you.
And I just want to know why Jerry can't seem to understand why does the cap work for everybody else and we just can't get it to work for us.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's probably a little bit of Jerry that wonders that. Like, I do think Jerry is increasingly, the more you hear him get frustrated, I'll just say that I do think that he's talking to us and he's shouldering it because he says the buck stops with him. I think he's similarly looking for answers for why is this... Why is it that we can't spend this money when people say we can spend this money?
Yeah.
And I think that those questions are being asked.
And Jerry, let's go to Michael at line quick, five.
Sorry, Chris.
Gotcha.
Jerry Jones tomorrow at 8:30 here on the show. He did not talk last night after the game, as is customary after road games for him now.
Back to the phones, 877-881-1053. Michael in Burleson.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Long-time listener.
We're okay.
Hey, first of all, y'all don't need Jerry. He comes on. People talk about Kamala Harris and her word salad. Jerry comes on every day, has word salad. He never says anything of substance.
Damn.
All right. Second of all, this is why Stephen A. Smith makes fun of the Cowboys.
Are you calling from Roanoke Cowboys right now? Are you calling from an R-word, Roanoke or Rockwall?
No.
I'm kidding.
This is why Stephen A. Smith makes fun of the Cowboys fans, though, because they just never get it. The person to blame or the where you should point your finger is at Cowboys fans. As long as Jerry Jones's evaluation on the franchise is $10 billion,
yeah,
he has no reason to change. The money is too good, okay?
Yeah.
Cowboys fans need to stop paying $100 for parking, stop watching the game so the ratings go down, stop buying the $40 nacho and Coke. Stop, you know, just stop spending money on the Cowboys. And whenever his evaluation goes down, Jerry Jones will change his tune. Mm. 30 years as a GM, 30 years. Anyone who is that inept at their job would have been fired 10 times over.
Yep.
Anyone.
That's true. Thanks. Thank you for the call. 877-881-1053. Hit us up on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line. And I just feel like we're starting the treadmill of, it's just starting the treadmill of mediocrity now. You are games into the brand new $60 million a year contract. And I'm not blaming all this on Dak. Those interceptions were jokes yesterday. I start with him and the offense to blame, but you're stuck.
It feels like you're stuck. Have you written off, because you said something earlier and I didn't know if you were talking about just the feeling of the moment or this is just your outlook now, where you said the contract looks like a mistake or the contract's a mistake or whatever you said. Are you at a point now where you say you feel like this is Dak now? The guy we've seen this year, this is Dak now rather than a bad stretch?
I just think there's levels of it. Like when he is in the zone, he can play like an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I don't think this is him. I think this is more of a bad stretch. I don't think he has very good offensive line protection. That should not be thrown to the side. He's got no running back help, and he's got no secondary wide receiver. Those are problems. He may have a coordinator in plays that other people around the league are laughing at and picking on. He has all the pressure in the world on the offense's shoulders because the defense usually sucks. They didn't last night, especially in the first half. All those are factors. But no, if I could go back and do it again now, maybe I give it another year to see what happens with them next year. But if you are going to have a top five pick, then you don't give the quarterback $60 million and you go and try to find. But again, that's hindsight. That's easy.
It is hindsight, but I mean, this is the problem. Like, this is the one team that could do the way where you just, hey, we're just going to move on, you know, and we're gonna take our lumps because the GM doesn't have to worry about job security. A lot of GMs do the safe route for job security reasons.
Yeah, it's disheartening to watch those two types of interceptions yesterday. You know what I mean? Tipped interceptions, ones where the receiver could have gone a different route, miscommunication because Lamb wasn't there at camp, all those I can live with. But those two picks were indefensible. You can't really have a sports talk debate about it. They're so bad. That's what's disheartening. Like, oh, you can still do that? You're still capable
Should
of that?
Should have had a third indefensible interception.
Yeah. Yes.
On that last drive.
Dak Prescott needs to have the stones, in my opinion, to sit CeeDee Lamb down. Maybe he has behind the scenes and say, listen to me. I'm the mother effing quarterback. You shut your damn mouth. When the ball comes to you, it comes to you. Pouting, you won't get it, period. I'll blow this whole thing up. We're losing anyway. I'll stop getting you the football. You got your money. You ain't going anywhere. Stop with the tantrums. I'm going to get it to you. You know I'm going to try to get it to you. But Dak isn't showing that backbone on the field with this force feeding. CeeDee Lamb should not be telling Dak Prescott what to do. I'm the damn quarterback. I'm the leader. It's my locker room. For better or worse, you're going to do what I say, when I tell you to do it, how I tell you to do it. Otherwise, you're not getting squat. I'll get Jalen Tolbert paid somewhere by force feeding him. Stop with the shenanigans. Now, that didn't happen yesterday. Okay, so I want to back off that. I'm just talking about overall. He's force feeding him, and that's why I went off, because I just thought of that the Fred Warner play where it was triple coverage.
Yeah.
And they're throwing him worthless 2 and 3 yard screens and little dinks and dunks to I think, tone down his temper tantrums that could build if he doesn't get them. They're like, all right, instead of a 2 yard handoff to Dalvin or Zeke or Rico, let's just throw it. Let's placate him early. Okay. And this is not the first receiver. This is like all superstar receivers. But like, yo, man, you know what you're working with here, right? They're not trying to get you the football. They're not stupid. They're not trying to ignore you. It's gone the other way to where I'm questioning Dak's leadership a little bit. He doesn't have enough control of CeeDee behind the scenes because of what I'm seeing playing on game days. I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, like, I get part of it, though, is you want to get the ball in the hands of your best playmaker.
Yeah.
So even if it is a screen, you know, like, what
But, bro, we've gone overboard with it.
Like, they have.
50% of his targets in the first half were all to him. Like, it's going.
Well,
oh, I think 50%
of his targets for the game were.
50%.
He had 17 targets. Yeah. Dak had 38 attempts. Like, I mean, that's pretty close to 50%.
And I know they would come back, and damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? If Lamb doesn't get the ball, especially in these second halves, we're like, where's CD? Where is he? We're like, get the ball to your best, get the ball to your best. But, like, it's like a point guard early on, right, in a game. Like, I know, Luka, I get on Luka for this. Stop shooting early on. Get the others going. Like, you got to get Tolbert going. Get Cooks going. Get Fur going. I can get back the Lamb when we need it. You got to get other people going. Get Schoon. Try. But this is, like, so obvious. I want to know from a coaching standpoint and all our film reviewers, including you, Bobby, because if the Cowboys are playing, Belichick on a simulcast, on a Manning cast, will say, double Lamb. Like, why aren't teams, Bobby, just doubling Lamb?
I mean, a lot of them...
Like,
hit
just,
him with
just like, you're not going to... It's another basketball analogy, like, all right, do you let Luka get 40 and freeze everyone else out and not let them get the rhythm? Or single Luka up, single Lamb up, and not let anyone else get... You know what I mean? That pick your poison.
Yeah, and... They, like, teams will bracket coverage. I mean, they've done that a lot more lately. Detroit did it. Pittsburgh did it. They've tried to take him away. Here's the only thing that I look at when it comes to the force feeding question, because I know a lot of people have started to get upset by that. If you look at the receivers, he still, among their receiving group, has the second most average separation. The one that's had him, it's Kevontae Turpin by 0.1 yard, which Kevontae Turpin being as small as he is, that's not the same amount of separation as it is with CD. What I think is no one is getting open. So Dak, and looking at progressions and looking at what he has available, says nobody is open right now. CD is good enough that he can make a play when he's not open. And I think that it's just, all right, if none of y'all are getting open, then I'm going to throw it to CD because I know he can make a play sometimes with even when he's not open. And so I think it's just there's a lack of options. I think if there were guys running free because CD had all the attention, he'd be working the ball there. They're not. They're getting locked up in single coverage.
All right. No intention of getting worked up whatsoever. That's just Bobby set me off like he did Jerry, and I caught all the heat for it. And now Bobby wants to pick a fight with my favorite Cowboy next in Below the Belt, 105.3 The Fan.
First and goal at the 4 for the Niners. Juszczyk in motion, handoff Garendo, blows right up the middle like there's nobody home. Touchdown, San Francisco.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, baby, let's pick a fight with Sean's favorite player. Sean, here's the thing. And we've mentioned him a couple times this morning. Jake Ferguson. We all love him.
Bigger news than that coming into the 105 Through the Fan studios here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby back from California.
Very bad place.
We have breaking news, and he can now bet at BetQL if he wants, although he can't. He works for the NFL Network.
Yep.
Bobby's wallet has been found.
It was found.
Where was it?
It was on the plane. So I
they went back on the plane? You can't go back on the plane.
No, they
Everybody
didn't.
Knows you can't go back on the plane.
They didn't go back on the plane. Whoever, they had to communicate to, hey, there's... apparently something in this seat, potentially, can you go look? And they went and looked, and it was, I guess, in the pocket or something. Or they may not have even got off, because I know they texted. They were still cleaning off the plane when I had texted and said, I have already left. I know it's not there.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Good.
So they found it. I got to just figure out a time to go meet and pick it up at the charter site. So
I don't understand this. Why was your wallet not in your pocket?
So
you?
I was wearing
He's
this.
He's got a Costanza, a lean.
I was wearing this, and we got tight space. I got jeans on. I don't have, like, my wallet in my jean pocket. I think it may have been in this pocket, in the hoodie, and it's possible it just slipped out then is what happened. And so
why are you wearing jeans today?
I, like, have not slept. Oh. I got off the plane, and I'm still here. So this is what I wore to the game last night, so... We're running on. We're not 24 hours without sleep yet, though. So we're good. I staggered it. I made sure not to wake up till noon when you got my phone call with a raspy voice sounding like Kathleen Turner. Yeah. So that's what it was.
Good
but
reference.
We got to talk about Jake Ferguson. I love Jake Ferguson.
Don't say nothing dumb.
I'm not going to say anything dumb.
Don't say nothing offensive.
I'm not going to say anything offensive. I love Jake Ferguson. He's a great interview. He's a good player. He's not making enough of a difference in the passing game this year. With everything that's being taken away from CeeDee Lamb, there's got to be more separation from Jake Ferguson. He's got to get open more consistently. They tried a lot yesterday to throw him the ball in the flat. What did we see the first 2 years he was here? We were all kind of surprised by this athleticism that he had, where he would break tackles or hurdle guys, or he had some moves in space when pick things up. He's kind of catching the ball and getting wrapped up right now. And you remember he had the, what was it? Was it the knee injury?
So your problem is not is breaking tackles or not getting open enough?
My problem is his all-around game right now. Okay,
don't say anything about breaking tackles. That I'm not going to allow, because he is the only one. He was the tone setter for playing physical yesterday, taking on three tackles. I can't speak to the route running, getting open. I can't let you go there with Ferg.
Don't
talk about breaking tackles with Jake Ferguson.
Less so about physicality, more I'm talking about the finesse that he's had in space. Yeah, where he's hurdled or he's had a move or he's been able to, you know, and I don't know. We forget this. He's missed a game this year. He had that knee issue against Cleveland where we all for a second thought he tore his ACL and was out the whole year.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe he's just been limited by that. He might still be in some pain. It may be something where he's available and he can play, but there's pain management or there's some sort of limited mobility potentially. That could explain some of this. But it's just, I don't know that we've seen... Not just I don't think we've seen progression this year so far. It's not going to... I don't know that we've seen the same guy we saw the first 2 years yet. And again, Everybody struggled. When an entire offense is struggling, that usually goes deeper than what one player's doing. That usually goes down to schemes or culture or, you know, just a lot of different things can factor into that are outside of even Jake Ferguson's control. But I think... In general, as we've gone over the list and talked about people who are to blame for this offense being anemic for the first 7 weeks, Ferguson's name hasn't come up as routinely as it probably should. Are you upset by that, Sean?
I don't have anything else to say. I've said what I've had to say.
Choppy, am I wrong?
Redirect
here?
The blame everywhere else.
No.
Mike, Ferg.
Is 8 weeks, 2 hours, and 40 minutes before I say, hey, is Jake Ferguson playing great this year? Is that looking to redirect too quickly?
No.
So, Chop,
well, I'll tell you this. I had the over at 4.5 touchdowns and for Jake for the year. So, yeah, I would say he's starting off a little bit slow.
Well, the thing is that you've talked about it before, Chop. You feel like... There's no greater advantage potentially in today's NFL than an athletic tight end who can
I agree.
Be a difference maker for you.
Absolutely. Third wide receiver too. A third wide receiver who's a top flight third, because you're going up against a third corner. That, you know, when Antonio Brown was with Tampa, I mean, that could be good. But yeah, I mean, a tremendous tight end. We saw it last night.
Heading into this week, do you know where Jake Ferguson ranked in receiving yards across the NFL?
Are you going to throw him in there with receivers too?
I can throw him in there with tight ends first. I'm going to tell you receivers first. Or I'm going to tell you all pass catchers.
How about 77th?
No, lower.
Pretty damn close, 74th. He's 15th among tight ends in receiving yards. And that's as somebody who's supposed to be the number two. He's in one of these situations where you're not the third one getting, you know, progression looks after the first and the second receiver. He's supposed to be the two. And when CD's bracketed, he's a lot of times going to have to be the one. And for him to output, you just look over the course of the last several weeks. He came off of the injury against Baltimore. He played well that game. He had 6 catches, 95 yards. Since then, 7 for 49, 6 for 70, 3 for 11, 6 for 23. And it's just, it's not coming together the way I think that it should or like you'd want to see. And again, there's bigger, larger scale issues, I think, with the offense right now that go beyond Jake Ferguson. I just think that he would probably say as well, I shouldn't be getting a pass. I need to be playing better. I need to be making a bigger difference. I did notice last night.
Maybe he's got a case of the Kelsey's.
Right.
Could be. Look, yeah. I mean, you get running big. All over and town. I'm just kidding. I don't even want them to think I'm joking about that, because he's cool. I don't want him to think we're like. I don't want him to think we're actually saying that.
Yes, I'm joking, not. Jake.
Yeah. No, she's much better than Taylor Swift. But one of the things that I noticed yesterday, they used, when we talk about what changes did they make at the bye week, Was there anything that looked different in the offense? We were expecting certain things to come back potentially. Ferguson, I thought, and we'll see if it was just San Francisco. Did it stick out to you guys that it felt like they were trying to use Ferguson different than he's been used in the past?
Not really.
I thought the slip screens that he was catching, like that one he caught on third down and then he ran, and the, hey, quick throw to the flat, let's try and clear out flat, get him out there. I thought they were definitely trying to get him ball in his hands, go do something with it. And I don't know if that's because they feel like, hey, we haven't been able to push things further down the field. We've had trouble separating. We've had trouble clearing that out. Let's try and clear out in the shallow end and do something with him to where he can make plays in space.
The big difference that Collinsworth is pointing out on TV was six-man front for Zimmer. And he's like, you're not running. If you want to beat us one-on-one, you can beat us. You're not going to run and beat us up physically. Six-man front, and then whenever they went shotgun, Zimmer was blitzing. That was what Chris Collinsworth was talking about with the Cowboys' defensive adjustment.
Yeah, and that's the next thing I want to talk about here. Some of the other things that I noticed initially. And
God,
we'll
talk about something relevant.
Well, yeah, because your boy certainly isn't. When we look at some of the changes that were made, and we'll have a better idea once you can actually sit down and look at the game back. But initially, I thought Zimmer's defense looked different yesterday. There was a lot more. That stuff we talked about with Georgia versus Texas, the stemming the fronts and late shifts in the front and everything. Zimmer was doing a lot of that yesterday where they're showing zero blitz, for instance, and then it burned them in this instance when Debo was motioned out and had that big catch on Kendricks.
Yes.
They were showing zero blitz. They showed basically everybody at the line of scrimmage and then at the last second kind of shifted out and moved, and then Kendricks was a little late getting over there.
I have not noticed Mozzie Smith one time. Well, I did notice him.
Why
one
you don't
time.
Draft an interior defensive lineman?
He got thrown a couple weeks ago, but basically since his really nice game that we were all in love with, I have not noticed or heard him at all.
I noticed him yesterday.
He did?
Yeah, because he was on the ground a few different times.
I think the bar, though, for nice game for Mozzie is like a hitter goes like 1-for-5, and you go, but he had a good game.
Oh.
Like 1-for-5.
No, that game he had against the Giants, he was an impact player. And that's the thing, is that if you get that, it's great. That's who he's supposed to be. And the problem is that it's not been consistent enough. Yesterday we had this talk on Cowboys Crosstalk last Wednesday with Nate. The idea of if you can get one guy, because everybody was bad against Detroit. So if you can just get one guy for the San Francisco game to say, he's got to be better. He specifically, I'll take my chances with everybody else, but if I can guarantee that he's better, then I'm going to feel a lot better about this game. The guy I picked was Mozzie. Because if Mozzie's playing better, everything else for the defense is going to fall into place more smoothly. People think of the one technique, like Choppy just said, as being a little useless to the defense.
Space eater,
whatever. When you talk about what the linebacker's role is and what other guys on the defensive line are supposed to do, it really does have a massive impact on ripple effect what happens behind you. If Mozzie Smith's not doing his job, everything else falls apart in a lot of respects, especially in the run game. And that's why I think you're getting the 220 that you're giving up on the ground, or the 180, or the 270. You're giving up all that stuff on the ground in large part because Mozzie Smith doesn't play well. Mozzie doesn't play well, and then Kendricks is getting blocked, and Overshown's getting blocked, or they're trying to play hero ball, and they're trying to do other things. Mozzie Smith has got to be better, and that's something that right now you aren't getting out of him. Now, I mentioned earlier, I wanted to complain, Sean, as I frequently do, about the 3rd-and-5 run. I had
Lipke.
Almost a bigger problem with that than any play I saw last night. Mm. And it was in the first quarter when it was still 0-0. And ultimately, you got ahead after that. It shouldn't matter that much. Here's the issue. What have we heard from Jerry McCarthy and everybody else now for 8 weeks about the run game? Whenever we ask, hey, why isn't this happening? Why aren't you doing this? What do they keep throwing at us?
Are you about to read this quote?
No, I don't think I'm about to read a quote. I'm going to make a point.
Okay.
The quote that we've been getting from Jerry and McCarthy, or the sentiment, has been,
we haven't had enough opportunities.
Time and place, guys. We've been down. We've had this happen. We can't do that.
There's truth in blah, that. Blah. But
There is yep. truth in that, but you have no standing anymore to tell me about time and place. When in San Francisco, you know you have trouble playing from behind. It has been a killer for your organization for the last several years, even when you've been good. And this year, you're not. But you've had issues playing behind. You get the ball, and you're trying to continue a drive, get on the board first against San Francisco, and on 3rd-and-5, you run a shotgun, like, dive play with the fullback.
Did you go back and study the box?
Is that what it called for?
I looked at it.
And the great Kyle Shanahan, he did it twice as well. You know, third and fourth, they ran it.
Yeah, if we were
third, and that was then it was a behind the Debo and fourth, third and ten before the field goal, they ran
it. Dalvin Cook looked great in practice too when he was going against the Cowboys' run defense. We've heard about this. We know, sure.
Third and four, run to Debo. That's not like a run, right? It's like a, you know what I mean? It's, Debo's different. Look,
but here's the thing.
It's the fullback. If they had ran it to.
I'm joking, but you know what? I always view those things as.
Nitpicky, it is.
Well, it works. It was genius. Nitpicky. No one was expecting it. Hunter Lipke has been talked about a couple times this year.
Right.
I'm not defending it, but it feels like a total hindsight thing.
No, because I said it at the time while we were sitting up there in the press box that in third and five, and you're in a shotgun, and you're handing it to Lipke to run up the A gap. You can't tell me about time and place to run the ball and why you haven't had opportunities, and then do that in that moment. That's not the opportunity. That's not the time. That's not the place. That felt a little, I don't want to just throw this word around because I know how sensitive at times some of the decision makers can get about certain words that you use, but it felt like coaching malpractice to me to even call that in that situation, given everything that's riding on this team right now. And I just don't want to hear any more about we don't have the opportunity to run the ball, or we're not doing this, or we're not doing that. We got to have the right moment to do it. Well, you did it in one of the worst possible moments, and it showed me you just don't have an ability to correctly read the room on the running game.
Melo, the belt every day at this time on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. We still have 1 hour to go on this Cowboy Monday. How Dan Quinn made Jerry's day even worse in D.C. That's next here on Sean and RJ.